When my family goes somewhere, my trusty car seat is always there. While my car seat is not real new, it has a sticky spot or two. I'm always safe as we drive along because my car seat is very strong. I see trees, I see birds, I also see big signs with words. Now we stop for gasoline, ding ding, goes the pump machine. I fall asleep, my car seat's comfy as a bed. When I wake up, there's Gramps and Gran's house up ahead. I get unbuckled, I climb out. Hello, Gramps and Gran, I shout. Though my trusty car seat is not real new and has a sticky spot or two, and has lost that new car seat smell, it does its job very well. It does its job very well. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country Patreon bonus episode. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez. Thank you so much for joining me here on Patreon.com. This week's book, we are once again looking at the Berenstain Baby Bears books, the clunky short board books that we've been looking at. This week is My Trusty Car Seat, Buckling Up for Safety by the Berenstains. Now, as usual, this is just, you know, it's a little... You can hear it right there. It's a little board book from 1999, published by Berenstain Enterprises, Random House Book. And what can we say about My Trusty Car Seat? What can we say about the notion of the car seat, the way it's illustrated? Does it reflect 1999's car seat technology? This is really weird. This is a weird one. This is a weird book because car seats have changed a lot over the years. I mean, they've changed a lot since 99. They've changed a lot since I was a kid. But let's talk a little bit about the car seat. Depending on when you grew up, the idea of what a car seat is going to be different from everybody else around you, depending on when and where, because car seats are these ever-evolving, ever-changing entities. It was 1933 when the Bunny Bear Company introduced what was known as a booster seat for parents. And the whole idea of the booster seat at the time wasn't to keep children safe. It was to keep children from crawling around inside your car because they were too small to be held by someone or held on someone's lap. If you look at what the 1930s Bunny Bear seat was, it was this sort of canvas sack that a child's leg stuck through that actually strapped onto the back of one of the front seats. You just sat your child in it while you drove just to keep them out of the way. Like, that's it. It had nothing to do with safety. It was just so the parents didn't have to worry about a kid. It was terrible and terribly dangerous. But then it was the 1930s. All cars were dangerous. You were not driving in a safe machine. If you got in an accident, you were sliced to ribbons, crushed by steel, and that baby wasn't going to be safe in any case, 1930s. So don't even worry about it. So it wasn't until the 1940s that we got what was sort of the prototype of the first, what we think of as a car seat. Again, it was made of canvas. It was attached to a metal frame, but it faced front. And of course, it was put in the front seat. If you look at a picture of this thing, it's like a metal box that just sort of sits in the car. Like, it's not attached to anything, but it's sort of there for the child to be confined to a metal box in your car. Ugly little thing, no two ways about it. It doesn't even look safe. Looks like it was more of a danger to the child than a car accident would be. So after that, it was the 1960s where we saw our first big development in car seat technology. There was developments made in two places, in England and in America. So this guy, Jean Ames in England, developed a rear-facing seat that looked a lot like the car seats that we have today. It had harnesses, it faced backwards, and that was what they were using kind of in England. Meanwhile, Len Rivkin developed a car seat for the American market that had what we think of like as the buckle now, that was still a metal frame, but it had this buckle that kind of went all around it. And the other one, the Ames design, had a Y-shaped strap. So kind of these two ideas combined together later on into more of what we think of as a car seat. But before we move on from the 60s, in 1968, Ford Motor Company introduced their own child seat. And this one was designed with safety in mind. So the Ford Motor Company designed the first baby car seat that was supposed to protect you not just from short stops, but also from impacts. And this was called the Tot Guard. And I don't know how to describe the Tot Guard, except to say that it was not what you think it is. It was not a seat like a car. It was more like a thing that went in front of the child. It covered the child's legs, and it actually had a face shield in front of the child with a pillow on it, like, or a soft pad, so that if you hit something, your child would be stopped short by the seat belt, which is you being used to actually hold this tot guard in place, but by their face slamming into a pad. And I want you to think of like what a pad in the late 1960s, early 1970s was. Think like a gym mat, like something like that. Now imagine you're going 55 miles an hour down the road. Your parents slam on the brakes all of a sudden. You're a 3-year-old and your face at 55 miles an hour slams into a gym mat that's sitting on unyielding hard plastic. That's what you're being slammed into. The only thing this is doing is keeping your child's skull from going into their own black patent leather shoes. That's pretty much it. So the tot guard, but I will give them props for actually thinking, okay, we've got to keep a child from harm. We've got to keep it from getting whiplash. I guess just having it slam into a padded barrier is better than nothing. So that's the tot guard. So it wasn't until 1971. So cars, automobiles have now been around for over 50 years. 1971, where the first federal standards were put into place for car seat safety. And that was when car seats started requiring a 3-point harness, as well as a safety belt that attached the seat to the car. So now you had to have a seat belt in the car that would attach the car seat, that would hold the car seat down, and a 3-point harness. That's a harness that there's a belt that comes up between the legs, and a harness in two straps that attach to it that come from over the shoulders. This is your first major step forward in the technology into actually protecting the child. And these days you'll see a 5-point harness where you have two belts, like two straps that come in over the hips, kind of give it a little extra, like, so the child's not, like, the force isn't all like relying on like one area of the body. It's sort of like full body protection. But that 1971 requirement sort of started changing everything. I don't want to let the Ford Motor Company, oh no, General Motor Company, off the hook just yet. They also released Love Seats, and these were the first designs which fully utilized seat belts, and they were made of polypropylene. They were padded with foam. They were lightweight. They were portable, and they had the 3-point guard. So they look just about useless when you think about it, but they're again a little bit safer. Moving on from there, we get to, okay, there's the 1970 standards. It wasn't until, okay, so that was 1971. It wasn't until 1985, 14 years after the 1971 decision that children had to have these car seats. It wasn't until 85 that required children to sit in a car seat while riding in a vehicle. And that crash testing for car seats started being required. So this is where we see the leap forward in how our car seats were made, because suddenly there were federal laws that were like, you can't just sell anything. You've actually got to prove it'll save a child's life if there's a car accident. So now manufacturing really kicks up. We start seeing the larger, sturdier car seats. And in 1997 is when we got the precursor to the lower anchors and tethers for children system, the latch system, that in 2002 would be mandated by law. Latch is the thing that's in every car now. You don't even think about it, where all cars had to have a way to connect a car seat to a car. They're just like metal bars that are built into the structure of the car. And if you don't have a kid, you know, you never use car seats, you may not even think about the fact that they're there. But they exist, and they are safer than a seatbelt. They actually make the car seat more a part of the car's frame, so that there's not a whole lot of jostling around. So 2002 was latch. And then throughout the last 20 years, like I said, the three-point harness has graduated to the five-point harness. We've developed ways of converting car seats into booster seats. And there are more and more laws regulating which children are required to be put into booster seats. And in between, like, my oldest child and my youngest child, those laws have changed even more. They've tightened up. There's laws and there's requirements, and the requirements are basically like, until you get your license, you should be sitting in a booster seat. It's for safety's sake, it's for convenience sake, it's for comfort's sake. I know a lot of kids are resistant to sitting in their booster seats, but as long as you can keep them in those seats, the safer they will be, because cars are dangerous, they're deadly, they're horrible things. But what does this have to do with the Berenstain Bears and my trusty car seat? Well, my trusty car seat, as you heard from me reading it in its entirety at the top, is just a kid. It's our little kid. It's our little cub. Just celebrating their car seat. And who is this cub? We still don't know. This is unnamed cub. But here's something interesting. Just quick rundown. The car seat is green. It does not look like a real car seat. It looks like a terrible thing from the 70s. So is this a flashback? Perhaps. It's got a three-point harness, even though this was written in 99 when five-point harnesses were coming out. So that's weird. The way it's strapped into the back seat would suggest that this doesn't look like it's set in the 1990s. This looks like it's set in the early days of car seats. Perhaps when, I don't know, maybe Mike Berenstain's kids were first in car seats, because this thing looks ancient. It looks dangerous. It's only held into the back seat of the car. And this car, by the way, is a sedan from like the late 70s, early 80s. So maybe. It's being held into the sedan by one lap strap. There are no shoulder straps, by the way, in the back seat of this car. This is definitely a flashback. This is unnamed cub, but as you heard, unnamed cub and parents end up going to the home of two bears known as Gramps and Gran. So is this cub meant to be Brother Bear or Small Bear at this point? Is this a retconned Brother Bear? Because, I mean, that's Gramps and Gran. It's Gramps and Gran, but it's a younger Gramps and Gran. This isn't old Gramps and Gran. This is approaching middle age Gramps and Gran. All right. So we've got a young Gramps and Gran. We've got a cub who is very clearly dressed as Brother Bear in this book. No more pajamas and like weird outfits. This is a cub wearing a collared shirt, red shirt with long sleeves and blue pants. But that leaves the question of who are this mother and father? Remember, these parents have not been called Mama and Papa throughout these books. We have a mom bear wearing a red vest, looks like a light blue turtleneck and greenish, like khaki-ish greenish pants, a red headband and hoop earrings. We have a father bear wearing a purple shirt, a collared shirt with long sleeves and blue pants, maybe blue jeans. But if this is meant to be Mama and Papa, then this is Mama in their Missy and Junior identities. This is not Mama and Papa from the books as we know them. This is Mama and Papa from the Berenstain Baby Bears. I am going to suggest that the Berenstain Baby Bears books are intended to represent Brother Bear. But Brother Bear, as he is now being, like, this is not the Brother Bear who grew up in a cave. This is not the Brother Bear who went out into the woods with his papa to chop down a tree to make sister her bed while mama gave birth to a baby inside the treehouse. This is a Brother Bear whose parents drove a 1980s Monte Carlo with leather seats and strapped him into a dangerous car seat. This is a Brother Bear who, when he was Small Bear, barely survived the 70s. This is a Brother Bear who ate lead chips off the windowsill. This is not our agrarian Brother Bear. This is later Brother Bear from the later continuities of the book. This is a Brother Bear that I can believe grew up in the 1980s, but not a Brother Bear as featured in the earlier Berenstain Bears books. Fascinating bears. Just fascinating. So Brother Bear, or Small Bear, or whoever this bear is, this is just a paean to his car seat. He loves his car seat. It's a little bit sticky, because no one ever cleans car seats. Trust me, you never clean car seat unless you are about to have company. Like if someone's like, oh, we've got a car seat, your kid can... Nope, you would never clean it until then. We do see a sign for Busy Bee Honey with a bee on it that says, get the best. It's a little bit of world building, I guess. The gas pumps they use are very clearly not modern gas pumps, very clearly not even late 90s gas pumps. Also, there's a bear filling their tank for them. So I don't know if that gives us any suggestion as to the era this was made in, but there is a pump for regular, a pump for plus, and a pump for, it looks like, I can't read the whole thing, but maybe leaded. So again, late 70s, early 80s. This is a gas station that I remember from my childhood. So just the color of this car that they're riding around in is the color of a throat lozenge. Everything about this book reads, this takes place in a different era than your child exists in. So that's it. That's the book. They get to Gramps and Gran's house, and this isn't even about growing out of your car seat, because the kid is too young to grow out of a car seat. So I'll just point out that he likes his car seat, and that they do repeat in the end. It does its job very well, period. And then it says again, it does its job very well. I don't know what kind of point they're trying to drive home here, but they drove it home in by repeating that last sentence. Hey, everyone, it does its job very well. It does its job very well. Why are you questioning this? I'm a baby bear. So that's it. That's a little brief history rundown of car seats and a little peek behind the curtain of Small Bear's babyhood. Small Bear's childhood. There's no even mystery. I know what this is called, my buckling up for safety. My trusty car seat buckling up for safety. If you're looking to get a copy of the Berenstain Baby Bears, My Trusty Car Seat Buckling Up for Safety by the Berenstains, just check online. There's used copies. It'll run you about $5 or $6. The copy I got it's in rough shape. But again, board book, it was in rough shape to be, before it left that child's hands for the first time, it was in rough shape. So pick it up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of my Patreon bonus episode where I'll be covering the rest of the Berenstain Baby Bears books. And what is the last Berenstain Baby Bear book? Join me, won't you, while I find out. The final Berenstain Baby Bears book that we'll be covering is the Berenstain Baby Bears My Everyday Book. So join me next week here on Patreon.com for My Everyday Book. And thank you. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for supporting my efforts. And I'll see you all next time on Patreon.com, deep in Bear Country.